Leo's not on the call, but I want to tell you about what I got Leo doing. That I just kind of, I have my spreadsheet with, suspects, prospects, clients. Now, we're used to doing this on clients. I want to have what I call a full file. And in the full file, I have, of course, the guy's name, his phone number, his email address, his address, and date of birth. So those are the basics. But, and I also want some type of Google printout, Wikipedia, whatever, on the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. But I extended that also to prospects and suspects. Like, I really, really want to get to know the people I'm working. I want to know everything. I want to know everything. Who are you? What do you do? What's your background? Everything.
Yeah.
Even date of birth. Like I told Leo, date of birth.
Well, you need to know it. You need to know how old they are. Makes a difference.
Everything. So he's working on having a full file on all the suspects and prospects too. We are getting down to a real method that's working. The whole meet the guy, romance him a little bit, pop the question, do a financial plan, do a review of whatever he wants to give me to review, that, do the financial intake on the phone. Cause we messed around with that. Do we meet the guy in person? Do we got to? No, 30 minutes on the phone. We get all the info. Then the delivery is in person over lunch. So we deliver it in person. Man, that's worked out really well. So I'm bagging new accounts. I got some nice accounts that have come in.
Great. Well, you're good at it. That's what you're good at. You need process though.
And, raising money, raising more money, centers of influence, everything. I'm busy. I'm really busy. I mean, I didn't do a record year last year because, everything. I was basically out for 4 months and working 2 or 3 hours a day from a recliner. The rest of the year is crazy. In my meeting room and recliner, I'm like trying to close deals. And, but now that I can get out, meet people for lunch, and really hit it hard during the day, I think I'm going to have a record year this year.
Right. You will.
I should. And plus another thing is my team was destroyed. I mean, Anna leaves me in April, gives me my 2 weeks notice the day I'm scheduled for open heart surgery, whatever, man. I mean, it's okay. She gave me 2 weeks notice. Fine.
Then
Juan leaves to move to Chicago with his brother.
Right.
So left with George, who then can't do anything, no supernova, nothing. He's like my operational assistant, and he's just keeping things glued together and, does a good job at that. Things stayed glued together. I didn't lose any clients.
Great.
Didn't lose any clients.
That's a miracle.
And my clients they love me, man. They're very understanding. And I had people saying, please don't talk about my money. How are you doing?
Right.
I don't want to know. Don't talk about money. I don't care about that right now. We'll talk later. They're very, very kind. Many people were very kind. And then now I got Leo running full steam. George, I got an operational assistant, Monica, who takes care of that. So George can focus on basically financial planning.
Right.
And then Leo is focusing on Supernova, the file and marketing. And that's his space.
Right.
And I think we're running right now. We're running and I'm running. So, and then I don't want to know a damn thing, but closing business. Like if I got to fill out a form, George takes over my computer. Don't teach me. Just here, take care of this.
Right.
Take it over. I'll be on a call while you do that.
Right. I can close somebody else.
Yeah. I keep going,
Right. You're going to tie me down to a computer when I could be out closing somebody?
Forget it. So, good. Just for you to know, being courted by a lot of people, my man.
Well, I know.
Too disruptive.
It takes a lot of time and effort to listen.
The fact of the matter is, I'm very happy with Morgan, and they treated me well. The management team here is pretty cool too. I mean, you're not here for the management team, but they're cool. They're very cool.
Yeah, I mean, if they're decent, that's all you need. Great, you know.
Yeah, you don't, because you don't live through their eyes. You live through yours. You do it, not them. But they're cool and very supportive throughout everything. And so good.
I'm happy you're happy.
So some of the things I haven't done, never reached out to Richard Bernstein, but I will. I'm feeling more juice so I can go after more T-Rexes.
Yeah.
Less small lizards and iguanas, more of large alligators and T-Rexes. That's what I'm interested in, you know. Elephant hunting.
Yeah.
So I'm putting more substantial people on my lead list, which is the first thing I do. So like the other day, there's an organization here called Latin Builders. It's probably the most powerful Hispanic networking group in Miami, the Latin Builders Association. And it's called Latin Builders, but they're all Cuban guys, basically. And, I've gotten somewhat in with the Latin Builders. You know, I know a lot of guys there, and on one of my charities, the former president of 2 years ago joined the board.
Good.
I see a guy like that, and we've said hello a few times, and now I've gotten to know him, and I put him as a lead. He's not even a suspect. He's a lead.
Yeah.
Now we develop a full file, and I start, come over to my house. We're going to do a little wine tasting, just the guys, just three or four guys, and maybe invite him and his wife out with Beatrice and I, and we go to dinner, and you know the guy, and and then eventually pop the question,
right?
And then go, it's like a cycle. Then
I love the question. Explore the opportunity of adding value as your financial advisor.
Yes,
it's very good. I like that.
That's it. That's what I was looking at. And you know what? People are receptive to that. You do it after a few contacts, several contacts, and then you just ask it and you just, and then they just start talking because now they're your friend.
I know. And so they're going to be nice to you. They may not.
Yeah.
Right. See, you got it figured out. That's Look now it's guy, just it.
The guy that I just bagged for $1.5 million told me, yeah, when I asked him, he goes, that's a tough one because I've had my advisor for 20 years of Merrill. I like him. He's done a decent job. I said, okay. Is he here in Miami? No, he's in Ohio. Okay. But things are virtual. So, he can keep in touch with the other phone. Oh yeah, he does. Phone, Zoom. I mean, I haven't seen the guy in years, but phone, Zoom, this type of thing. And, he says, I said, I know you got a lot of, you tell me about your stock. Yeah, I'm still holding all the stock. Okay, that could be. I told him all the risks. He says he's covered it with me, the risks of being in one stock. I said, I can actually put that on paper and show it to you. I can be more graphic. And I'm going to compare that to something else that I have. But tell me about your 401k. Yeah, I got a 401k. Do you have a financial plan? No. I said, you know what? If you allow me, that one's on me. That's on me. And you could take it and you could even share with him, and it'll help him out. So, okay, I'll do that. All right. So we start with a financial plan. Then I said, give me your 401k and I'll look at that too at the same time. So we do the intake. I deliver the financial plan. This is a friend, but he's not easy. So he beats me up with the questions. We answer them. I'm there with George. It was over a lunch. I said, listen to this one. I said, okay, so based on my analysis of my portfolio versus his portfolio, you see over a period of time, if you make 5% more, that really adds up the money. You're looking at my actual portfolio. You're looking at his actual portfolio. I'll tell you what. He's a good dude. I got an idea for you. Every year, at the end of the year, buy the most expensive champagne that you can buy for him. I'll turn you on to my private wine vendor, and he'll buy it for you. $300 a bottle, $400 a bottle. The most expensive. Send it to him and give me the account, because the account is costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars over time. The wine is only $300 or $400 a year. So he'll be happy. You'll have a super expensive champagne and you'll make a lot more money, and you could do it that way. And he's still your friend. And he looked and he goes, damn. Now that you put it that way, he goes, let me ask you, can you just take both accounts? And I said, yeah. He goes, all right, let me think about it and I'll get back to you in a week. Week later, you got it all. I'm moving everything. And that didn't start as positive. That started almost as a no. When I popped the question, it was like a no. I got a 20-year relationship with a guy in Maryland. Happy with.
Right. You know? It's because it made him nervous.
But when I covered everything, and then he saw also the service, like the financial plan, and we're in here, and
right.
You know, so just want to relate that story to you, but that now all we do is we do that over and over again now.
Right.
A model.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, and you know this, but if it's a referral, they pop to the top of the list fast. So I got referred last week, a client, and got on the phone. I said, the financial plan. He goes, well, you know, we really want to meet you. And I took a step back and I said, okay, I almost like jumped too quick. I said, let's meet for lunch. Love to meet you. You can get to know me. In the meantime, take a look at my website, get to know a little bit more about me. You see my picture, you know, we laughed. You know, you see my photo, and that way when we meet at the restaurant, you'll know who I am. So I met them, had a great 2.5-hour lunch, long. We covered everything. They're moving forward the financial plan and the account. Beautiful. So now I'm the account. We're in the process right now. It's my newest client. We set them up for the intake. Haven't done that yet. We'll do the intake now this week. And then, 2 weeks from now, we'll deliver the financial plan, and then we'll know everything, and then I'll start digging into the assets and moving even more money over, because that's the way that's going to go. And because, there's no secrets now once you do the plan.
No.
And so that became a prospect, like no lead, no suspect, prospect, bang, client. Boom, boom, because it was a referral. No.
If it's a referral, it's just, you know, if you're training your centers of influence and you get an introduction, your probabilities of closing are just through the roof.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and that's the game. That's the game. People say it's a lot of work to develop these centers of influence, and I got to call them all the time. And not, I said, hey, they send you an introduction, it's a client.
Every day regimented, 9 o'clock meeting at 9, We have to be done before 9:30. 9:30, I hit the first phone call, whether it be Supernova or just calling somebody.
That's great.
So that's also more regimented. Not, hey, we'll meet, you know, we can, the three of us can talk. And no, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock every day.
Right. Good for you.
And then we do the, I kind of go over the clients of the day before so that they know what's going on. Hey, I talked to this guy. Here's what's going on. Talked to that guy. Here's what's going on. Met with him. Here's what's going on. By the way, here's my calendar for the week. I had a rough time with the whole calendar. I'm very anal with my calendar on my iPad and my phone. Not so good with the calendar in Outlook. So George goes, dude, let's not fight it. Buy a cheap iPad for Leo and I, and we'll link it to your calendar.
We'll use that one.
And I said, do it. So I bought a couple of iPads, $600 each. Good investment. Go. You know?
And so now you're using the Apple.
I'm just so used to it. I would miss appointments. Then all of a sudden I'd have an appointment and they'd go, we didn't know you had an appointment.
Oh shit. You got to have the same calendar. You can't have two calendars.
No, and especially me with all the doctors and everything.
Right.
Hey, Alex, for a three. Shit. At three, right. At three, they're doing whatever, you know. I'll have my pants off at the office. I can't do it at three. You know, so
what's happening? What's happening with your other business?
Man, the other business is something where, you know, you try to control. Okay. So in December, we had our best month ever. So good. It's good things, but it's been a rugged start to the year. I've had to get too involved in January. I hope that's not the case going forward. But what happened is that my attorney decided to roll more strict non-competes out. And that caused a hullabaloo.
Oh, shit.
And I said, you know what? I'm the only one that can close these employees. I got to do it myself. If not, everybody's going to quit. So I had to go one by one. And I also threw a little bonus in there because I had a good month in December. And the two guys that I felt might leave are the ones that are leave. One I wanted out anyways. Like I was going to say, take off. So that's okay. And then one guy I didn't want to leave, but I felt he would. And it looks like he's leaving. Everybody else signed the non-compete. We move forward. And then we got new people that we're looking at. I have a great team there too. I have a new marketing person. I have a new assistant manager. I got a powerhouse front desk person that used to manage salons in Miami. She might be my other management person.
Oh, looks good.
So, you know, all this takes the pressure off me having to actually go there. And so what I want to have it down to is like 15 minutes a day. And then Saturday's the big day. So Saturday's 3 hours. That's where we, you know, I kick the tires, peel everything back. You know, what's going on? You know, numbers.
Yeah.
Saturday's the big day. Regret it for the business a little bit because, man, Saturday's a great day to be in the office, knock out some important phone calls, look at the book. But what can I tell you? There's one day that I got to dedicate to that. It's got to be Saturday.
Is that generating any leads for you in the other business?
So, yeah, but I got a system for that too, but I haven't implemented it. So the system is my marketing person also is good with IT, et cetera, generates a list for me. She's already generated a couple of lists. Okay. So here are, I could say, okay, who is new that walked in December? Okay. Boom. Here they are. Here's the people I could find on LinkedIn and Google.
Yep.
I turn around, give it to Leo. Leo now does a deeper dig and he says, wow, here's 20 guys that are outstanding. Like, you want to know them. Now there, I got two choices at this point. Or maybe you can give me a third. One is I send them an email thanking them, et cetera, those 20 guys, saying, look, let me know when, you know, let me know. You can contact me. The next service is on me. Because I thank you for coming in. And I have my number, et cetera, they can call me. That's one way. The second way is more time consuming, very effective, but I don't think I have time for it. I call them. I'm the owner of the Welcome Gentleman. I'm calling you as the owner. Okay. Thank you for coming in. And, again, and then I make the personal contact. But the only problem with that is I don't think I have the time for it because I got to help.
No, you know? I like the first one.
Yeah.
And you don't want 20 guys. You want 4.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah. So you want to have them go through, offer the free service. They come in.
Yep.
More profile. Somebody else talks to them, gives them a lot of love. And you come up with the 4 guys that, and then you call them.
Well, there's another thing I thought of too. So now they know me as the owner of the Welcome Gentleman.
Yeah.
Right. But my LinkedIn is Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
So if we can make contact somehow now on LinkedIn.
Well, you have to do is ask to friend him, right?
I have friend him on LinkedIn, but now they'll say, holy shit. So this guy who's the owner of the Welcome Gentleman is a financial advisor and he manages portfolios. Wow. I didn't know that. Here, done.
Yeah.
So now that's how I cross over to, just so you know who I am. I do this, you know, so you're already my client at the Well-Groomed Gentleman, but I do this. So, and then leave it at that. Cause I don't want to jump on them there. Just leave it there.
No. Then what's your next step though?
My next step is now they're a suspect. And now they're in the suspect pool.
Now you invite them over for wine tasting.
All that.
Not nothing too big, right? Just
baseball
kind of
baseball games, wine tasting, plays. I belong to a playhouse. Whatever. Lunch,
right.
Breakfast, yeah. Coffee, tell you, whatever.
Yeah, they're going to be an interesting profile too. They're going to be younger, right?
No.
No, interesting.
No, we have, man, it's really, I expected that, but no, it's really all ages, really. No, not younger.
First
of all, it's a premium price. So you got to have the money. So if they're younger, like a university student.
Yeah, I was expecting the 40-year-old kind of hotshot, Still got his hair.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, very successful 50 and 60 year olds. We even got a lot of retirees to go there.
Well, they got the money.
There's a guy who we've become so close. Like he's Italian background, right? He's such a warm guy. When he sees me, he hugs me and kisses me on the cheek.
That's sweet.
He's such a nice man. He must be early 70s. His name is Anthony. Anthony Zagami. And then we have something in common, and that is that I recognize his last name. And I said, are you guys in the grocery store business? He says, yeah, my family was. I said, I used to go to your place all the time. Do you know Bob Pender? Yeah, Bob was my best friend in high school, in college. He used to work at Zagami's. Oh my God, I love Bob, so we had that in common too. And so anyways, drip on him. I give him wine. Oh, by the way, I make this beautiful wine gift, but I'm talking I'll share it with you. High touch. Okay. Maulini Group of Morgan Stanley. I deliver 100 cases to my clients and prospects and some suspects. Anthony gets one. So he tells me the last time he says, Al, I've never talked to you about this, but I want to talk to you about my money. And I want to have a private conversation with you. Maybe I said, Anthony, sure, let's get a bite to eat and we'll talk. This was like 2 weeks ago. So, you know, stuff starts falling. And Anthony's just a great client of the Walgreen Gentleman.
Nice.
You know, yeah. So, yeah, there's stuff to be done there. I just got to get the system going.
Yeah. You know? And have everybody else do as much as they can in terms of profiling and servicing them and creating the environment. And and then, you know, you can just say transition. You know the kind of service that we give over there? We kind of try. We do the same thing over here at Morgan Stanley. Kind of transition that, you know, concierge experience to this. Well, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean? Well, this is what we do. Everybody wants that concierge experience, you see?
Yes.
And they're willing to pay for it. And they get it. So, yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. Well, you got a unique, you know, I told you, just do more of it. do the dinner parties, do the wine tastings, do the lunches. And you said, you know, the last time we talked, you were like, every day I have a lunch, every day lined up lunch. I said, you know, I can't teach this stuff. You know, I can tell people, I tell them what you do, not people in Miami, but you know, in other parts of the country. And I said, you know, this is talent plus time, experience, and skills. He's very careful about the words he uses. And so I admire what you do. Trust me.
You have to be careful with your words. That's you. That's everything.
Everything. You can use the wrong words and it just falls flat, right?
Words are like weapons. My dad used to tell me that. Words are like weapons. Careful how you use them.
Right. Yeah, for good and evil. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So for sure. And in our business, you know, that's why it took me a while to learn the right way to flip somebody. To pop the question, I call it. It took a while for me to, how do I do this? Cause yeah, now they like me and you know, they've gone to a wine tasting and we've gone to a play together. What do I do? And then
I remember you and I talked about that.
Yeah. This is the way to do it. Delicate. Now you got to give it time. You got to give it time unless they're a referral and then you get right in.
Right.
You know, anyways, I think that I'm optimistic about this year because we have the right ingredients.
What can I do for you?
Hear me out?
Yeah. And
give me ideas here and there. That's it. Hear me out. And that's it. I mean, I think I'm beyond you show me the business, you know, and I already read Supernova and listened to the tape and I've done all that already. You know, I'm certainly not a Supernova expert, but you know, I mean, I get it. I understand your program. You know, I'm implementing it. So it's just a matter of hear me out and give me tips, advice. Hey, no, hey, try this, Al. Tweak that. Here, do this. You know, that's what you get for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's the accountability coach. It's just, you know, we're going to have this call. I need a good story.
Yep.
Let me make that call versus not making that call.
Yeah.
Let me, you know, Rob said, scare the hell out of yourself this month. You know, make that call that not sure, you know, go ahead, make the call.
Yeah. Right?
Guy's make a little bigger than what you used
you got
to,
nothing
right?
to lose. You got nothing to lose.
Got nothing to lose. We all do it though. We all kind of hesitate from making that call. And it's somebody out there and you just say, you know what? Today I'm going to make the call.
Even the open heart surgery helped me because man, I have to tell you, I didn't expect this of myself, but when I went into surgery that morning, I had no fear. I had no fear, Rob.
That's great.
I had maybe like a 20% chance of not making it.
Right.
And it was like, I didn't care. I made my peace with God. I promised that I'd be a better person if I got out. And if not, thank you very much for everything. And I had no fear. So if I don't fear that, how am I going to fear making a damn phone call?
I know. I said the same thing. People say, how can you be so calm? I said, well, lose an engine on final or on takeoff. That's a problem. Okay.
Yeah.
This is just money. All right. I dealt with the fear of cancer. Okay. And death. I'm past that. Right. I dealt with it. I said, I'm not going to be a victim of fear. It debilitates you. It makes you a wreck. You cry. You're pathetic. I said, you got to get past it. I got past it. I said, no more. I've never lived with fear. I'm not going to let it run my life. Goodbye, Mr. Fear. And I've never looked back. You know, we're all mortal. Christ. I mean, you and I are the perfect examples, right? We both looked death right in the eyeball and said, I know you're there. You're not coming for me yet. Yeah. And it makes you kind of like, okay, I'm such an optimist. You know, it almost makes me feel weird sometimes, but I'm just such an optimist about life. I just think it's great. Every part of it, all of it. I love it. Even the hard parts. Anyway, it's all good, right?
All good.
Philanthropy. What are you doing?
Man, I was going to say that's another thing I didn't do. I didn't look into the family trust. Okay. It's on my to-do list. I plan to do that. Right now I belong to a board. Well, this is something I had planned, which you're going to like this idea, but I couldn't implement it because of COVID. But okay. So I belong to a board of the Magic Waste Youth Foundation. Now I'm good buddies with the head, the guy that founded and the owner of Magic Waste. Actually, when he has his liquidity event, he's targeting me for that money. He's selling Magic Waste. So that should be like a $10, $12 million sale. So besides that, we're friends. And I belong to his foundation. So they have something, what they do is it's like a gap charity. What that means is, so you children get money until they're 18. And then what? Those first 2 years between 18 and 20, they need help with books and a place to live, mainly that, a place to live. And food, and this charity solves that need.
Are these kids that have no family?
Yeah, they're underprivileged kids.
Okay.
With no family, yeah, basically. So, and typically they're good students, but they just don't have money. So we help them room and board, basically. Okay. Then the elite givers there, they called Excalibur. They give $7,000 a year. They sponsor a child. You know, if the child permits and if they want, they can even get to know the child. Even though they don't have to, we have to really qualify them for that to happen. But
yeah.
You know, anyways, but Excalibur is the elite givers. So they said, man, how can we get more elite givers? And I said, I got an idea. Let's have a get together. We'll do it at my house. It's not a fundraiser. It's a friendraiser.
Right.
And they said, how the hell does that work? I said, okay, here's what we do. We invite these elite givers, the big money people, for free.
Right.
If they want to donate something, which they probably will, great. They can donate something. If not, they don't have to. Probably they'll put some money on the table.
Yeah.
But we don't mention an amount. Okay. What we want them to do, their entry fee is bringing a friend.
Okay.
That's it. They just have to bring a friend. Somebody like them. Then what I will do is I'll supply the home and I'm the financial backstop. Well, what do you mean by that, Al? So let's say the get together, we have, I don't know, 50, 60 people and it costs 15. It's going to be first class, cigar roller, music, you know, food, you know, open bar, you know, et cetera. It's on me. I'm the financial backstop. Now, so let's say it costs 15,000 and you raise 5,000. The 10 is on me. If you raise 10, I put a 5. I mean, whatever the difference is, it's on me. So there's no way the charity can take a loss.
Right.
Any Excalibur members that we get, I don't want any of that money. That goes directly to the charity. But just if they say, hey, I'll give you $200 for the event. Well, you know, that goes into the pot.
Okay.
So if you raise more than 15, I don't want any part of it. I just want up to the amount I spent. Right. Yep. And I'll run it all through the charity. You tell me how much it is. Everything will be run through you. I'll give you the difference. I'm the financial backstop.
In the meantime, what's your commitment in terms of number of times you do it?
Well, we were planning the first to see how it went. We were planning one time. We were going to do it in April. And here's the only issue now. My girlfriend and I really feel comfortable with this new coronavirus crap that's going around. To have 50, 60 people here at the house that we don't know. It's just, we're a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
So we're kind of sandbagging that to the end of the year.
Yeah, that it's one of those things. Maybe by April things will be great, but you might want to wait till June.
Yeah, man. And the problem is you got to plan 2 months ahead of time. And the issue with June, by the way, is that, I mean, some people will be out, but the main issue is the weather. Because I like
it's too hot.
And the weather here after like April, May, just is not good. Now the weather is unbelievable here. It's unbelievable. But after April, May, it goes south and it rains every day and you know, it's kind of crappy. So you want to do it like between like October and March or October and April in that time period.
Okay. You know?
This is more like an October, November type scenario. Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. We should be clean by then. I mean, maybe another one will come along, but I think this one kind of dominated and killed COVID. You know, the 1917 Spanish flu died because everybody got it.
Right. Immunity, natural immunity,
herd immunity. And so that's what's happening now, you know, with 800,000 people getting it. Now it's starting down and it, once it's gone, everybody say, oh, there'll be another variant. It'll be killer variant. I said,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Cause I mean, even people, they said, well, how about the people in Africa? I said, trust me, they've all gotten this. Okay.
Yep.
They're either dead or they survived. You know, it's not like, okay, we're going to put them all in a hospital and life is good. No, they go to the village and they carry them out, right? Or they make it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not going to be that, oh my God, you know, this is South America, South Africa. It's coming from there. Trust me. No. I mean, the only place that isn't got herd immunity is China because they locked the place down. They'll probably have this dealing with this for 10 years till everybody gets it over there. Just like they prolonged the banking crisis. They never dealt with it. They still have non-bank banks over there.
So the fundraiser I can use for various charities, and I'll be meeting people with money, you know, that can give away money and maybe possible future investors. So I think it's a great way to gather suspects.
It's a great thing to do philanthropy wise.
No doubt about it. So first is that you help a charity. That's a good thing. And then from a business perspective, you get to know people of net worth and they're right there in your house. I want to do it in my home. I don't want to do it in a restaurant. I want to do it in my house, you know? And,
That's what I should do too. Cause I'm raising money now. I'm interviewing today after this. I've interviewed 5 students today. I'm going to interview one more after this. And we're going to be selecting, I interview a total of 7 students. I'll be selecting 5 of them to be my first Supernova scholars. So We're going to be coaching and teaching, getting sophomores ready for our business, sophomore, junior, senior year, and then internships and so forth. So it's very exciting. You know, we're up and running, and I got my board of advisors of, I've got about 12 African-American managers from every firm. You know, people that have been in the business, some retired, but they're all going to be the mentors for these kids. Everybody's going to have so much fun doing this. It's just, it's a fun thing. You just have to get your foundation and figure out what is it that I want to do that's going to change the world that I live in, you know? So this is the one that, you know, this is the world I live in, you know, in Florida, we have a wonderful Hispanic community, but in Chicago, none. And there's a big Hispanic community there, and there's no FAs. So, you know, we got a long way to go in our business. So that's what I'm working on. So that's what I just recommend when you get your family foundation going, think about, even before you do that, think about what is it that I want to fix? You know, is it education? Is it healthcare? Is it, what is it that needs fixing? Because you can do it. You can do it. One person can do it. I'm convinced. And it's good for you. I mean, it'd be great for your business. Because yes. you could tie it right into this, you know. There's a program in Chicago called Chicago Scholars. And what they do is they go into the diverse community and they help kids that normally wouldn't get to college. And they give them everything they need to make it. And then they have a big group come in at the end of the, when they're getting ready to go to college. They bring at the McCormick Center now. They used to have it at the Wharf. Now there's so many kids and those schools show up with scholarships in hand and they compete for those students because the students are so well trained out of Chicago. Right? The worst school system in America, pretty much. But because of this program and the tutoring they do, so look up Chicago Scholars and think about it. Should we do a Miami Scholars? Maybe you've got it. But look at it and say, you know what? We need a Miami Scholars. And I got the people in Chicago for you to talk to if you want to. It's a great program. And it's high school to college. I'm college to our industry, right? That's what I'm working on. But I think that if I was young as you are and, you know, you got a great community, but you got, you know, everybody's got the same problems in their inner cities, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So how do you fix it? Good education, right? Provide the support that they don't get at home. And get them into college, get them, you know, mentor them. They do a mentoring program while they're in high school, but they don't place them into jobs. So they don't get them the internships when they're in college and things like that. They pretty much leave them go, let them go once they're into college. And I said, well, you could have just, you know, theoretically wasted your money, right? So they could spend a year in college and drop out because they don't have a mentor and they don't have whatever. They don't have the money. They run out of money or some shit, crap. Or they lose their scholarship because they screwed around. So anyway, it's you never can fix it all, but I look for the holes. And then I want to plug up the holes, you know? So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it in 4 minutes. So I got to go. All right.
Bob, thank you very much.
Al, good to be with you, buddy. Congratulations on a multi-year recovery program.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks.
I'm gonna make you proud this year. That's one of my goals.
Excellent. I look forward to being that coach for you.
Thank you, Rob.
See ya.
Take care, Rob.